The events of this week, particularly Tuesday night, when Trump was winning Florida and looked like he might be winning re-election, put me in mind of Joko's definition of enlightenment. You remember in Everyday Zen, she said, "Would it be okay with you if you lost your job, your friends were publicly humiliated? Would it be okay with you if you lost your arms and legs?" She had a whole list of catastrophic things and said, "Would it be okay with you if?" And certainly it was easy to extrapolate to, "Would it be okay with you if Trump won re-election?" But what did she mean by okay? There was a forum of a Buddhist discussion group where someone asked, "Does your practice allow you to face the outcome of the election with equanimity, regardless of who wins or loses?" And I wrote in, "Nope." I think that events like this make us examine what we expect of ourselves, how we expect to handle ourselves or respond in the face of calamity or bad news for ourselves or for the country. More than one person I know compared to waiting for the election returns to waiting for biopsy results. What's it going to be? How are the tests going to come back? Am I going to live? Do I have cancer? It felt like that. Should we put that into Joko's definition of enlightenment? Is it okay with you if the biopsy comes back positive, if you're told you have terminal cancer? See, I think we want to expect something from practice in terms of how we respond to these things. But what is it exactly do we expect? In some ways, it's easier to say what we don't want. I remember the old pogo cartoons, comic strips, where they had the character say, "When you're worried or in doubt, run in circles, scream and shout." So I suppose we expect a little more self-control than that from ourselves. See, the problem is that one kind of model of self-control, kind of person who stays calm and clear and effective or reliable in an emergency. In one example might be a doctor in an emergency room. To a layperson, when you go in there, it can seem like chaos with people screaming and everything seeming out of control, desperate, life and death situations. But to be an emergency room doctor is not just to remain calm, it's to also have at your disposal a whole body of knowledge and experience that teaches you how to deal with those kinds of situations in a very prescribed and controlled fashion. You check the person's airways. Are they breathing? Do they need oxygen? You check the blood pressure. Do you need to set up an IV line right away for fluids to maintain the blood pressure and to put in drugs? Is the person bleeding? How are you going to stop that bleeding? What kind of test do you need right away? The calmness of someone in that situation is dependent on their expertise in being able to do things that will make a difference, to have a sense of agency. That, of course, is what most people lack in the kind of situation while you're waiting for the election results or waiting for the biopsy results. You feel like your fate is completely out of your hands. You're helpless. All you can do is wait. So Joko's notion of would it be okay with you, I think we have to understand not as the okay of are you going to know what to do? Are you going to be able to handle yourself appropriately? But it's the okay of non-separation, of non-resistance to the reality of the moment, to the reality of what's happening to you. I don't think that can mean not having an emotional reaction, or it shouldn't. There's the famous parable of the Stoic philosopher who was told that his son was killed in battle. And the Stoic simply replied, "I've always known that my son was mortal." That's a kind of self-control that I don't think I would aspire to, and I don't think that our practice aspires to. We're not here to become unemotional or impervious, invulnerable. Joko's okay can't mean that. But I've said that as a result of practice, problems don't disappear from our life, but into our life. There's no separation between our life and our problem. It's all this moment. It's who and what we are. And so we're not caught in that kind of helpless and hopeless trying to control the uncontrollable. We're not trapped by the anxiety or the fear of trying to ward off the inevitable. We're not caught by self-reproach or self-hate or the blame or demonizing of others. Just this. Certainly in these kinds of election situations, it's easy to get pulled into a universe that's all us versus them. Growing up, I was very enamored of the Tolkien trilogy, Lord of the Rings. And I suppose my idea of what a Zen master was always had a lot to do with the character of Gandalf. It's very hard to outgrow those archetypes. But the other characteristic of that world of Tolkien was that the enemy there was total and absolute. And the orcs that were being fought against were subhuman. There was no negotiating with the orcs. There was no potential to try to understand things from their point of view. I don't even think in Tolkien you ever had a sense of orcs having families, that they're being even female, let alone baby orcs. There was no sense of their vulnerability of any kind. I'm not sure about in the book, but I know in the movie, they even have Saruman, who becomes an evil wizard, manufacturing orcs out of the earth, creating them like things and automatons. It's the epitome of irrational otherness. And how easy it is to fall into that picture of the other, out of fear. Growing up in the 60s, I think my image of the South was shaped more than almost anything else by two movies, Deliverance and Easy Rider. Neither of which ever made you want to ride a back road in the South ever, right? How easy it is to just carry that picture of irrational prejudice or hatred into a current situation. But I think that the main issue here really is the way these kinds of events reveal what we expect of ourselves, how we imagine we should handle things. I don't think our practice leads to stoicism. It shouldn't lead to demonization of the other. It can't give us mastery or self-control. But I guess what it does give us is a willingness to face what's next, even when that includes our own extreme vulnerability and the vulnerability of others and our loved ones. And like that biopsy, that one day we'll come back the way we wish it wouldn't. That we will face whatever it is we have to face. And facing it, and being mortal, and being part of a life of contingency and interdependence, vulnerability, in some way will be okay with us.